Okay, our first reading this morning is Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of the wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For all sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time of things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have become set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. And our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 through 42, hear these words. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. The readings of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads now and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scripture, and now to share my testimony. Amen. If you got a copy of the July newsletter on my article in the front page, you'll know that July is kind of a month of transitions and a lot of things happening. And one of the things that is happening in my life and Lisa's life together is we have decided it's time to downsize or resize. And so we sold our home and now we're in the process of moving into a condominium. And I'm ready to throw my snowblower out and my generator out and my pressure washer out. So I think I'm getting the better end of this bargain. But it makes me think as we leave this house that we've been in for 2 years, there's not a lot of heavy emotion about being in the house. It's interesting. I think Brenda Oliver will agree with me. When you're in real estate, one of the first things I learned about in real estate is when you were talking to people who were looking, you don't refer to it as a house. You call it a home. And so many times when I was selling, and I'm sure Brenda had the same experience, you could just see it on people's faces when they would walk into that house that they knew was going to be their home. As Phil said today, it's actually been a year since I've been here. And it's amazing how time has gone by. And yet this, what we call house of worship, has become a home. You know, how do we do that? How do our houses become homes? How does our church become a home? Well, we're going to look at that today. And Jesus gives some directives to us from that passage in Matthew. But first of all, first and more foremost, is that in order to become a home, a house to be a home, you have to have memories there. And it's interesting, when we moved and we were just here, just 1.5 years, 2 years, you know, we haven't been there a lot. And so we haven't built those memories that I would say you build in a home. And what are some of those memories? Well, birthdays, anniversaries. Can you think of anything else? Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, children being born, children being raised, grandchildren coming into the home. We've had none of that, and so it's just amazing how we are so just nonchalant about, we're just going to leave this house and we're going to go to the next one. When every time we've moved, which we've moved now 9 times, okay, there's always been kind of that twinge. Well, God talks to us about making a house a home today, and He says the way we do that here in this church is by the gift of welcome. You know, I think if there's one thing that you'll hear across denominations, across the world, is that churches want to be places of welcome. Churches want to be places where people can call home. And Jesus tells this to His disciples as they're leaving, going out to announce His kingdom. And Jesus says some words that the disciples of you can use of welcome, which are acts, deeds, and speech. And so He says these things to them. He says, first of all, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me also welcomes the one who sent me. Anyone who welcomes a prophet will be given the same reward as a prophet. And anyone who welcomes a prophet just because that person is a prophet will be given the same reward as a prophet. So we get these five little things in there. And then Jesus closes by saying this. He says that if a little one of this world is offered that cup of cold water, God will not take away our rewards. If we go to that, those acts of humility. So what does it mean to welcome? What does it mean to do that here in this place? How do we make the house of God a home? And these are all questions that we as a church and Christians around the world wrestle with continually. So I'm going to read those to you one more time. How do we welcome each other? How do we do it here in this place? And how do we make the house of God a home? Well, you know, we are called to give, and we're called to give God to our brothers and sisters, not only in our community, but those who are outside of our community. We are called to wrestle with this continuously as Christians and as a church. And sometimes this can be a very scary or this can be a very exciting thing when we kind of put ourselves out there to welcome people into God's midst. You know, one of the things, so as you're seeing today, we are getting so ready for Vacation Bible School. But when you put yourself out there like that, there's always a little worry. Will people come? Will children be drawn? You know, when we take whatever it is, those risks that we take, there's always a worry and anxiety in the back of that. And I think the welcome of God tells us that none of our efforts in doing, welcoming people in our midst, welcoming children, none of those efforts are going to go by the wayside because God will make sure that our blessing is in place. You know, it's interesting. Jesus says that over and over. And whoever gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink shall not lose their reward. Sometimes the things that we do that we don't really think are significant, or maybe some of those things we very much need to do. You know, when Linda brought that welcome mat in, I thought, wow, maybe we need to have one of those big ones out in front of our doors. Maybe we need to have it out in the door. But just that word, welcome. Welcome. That in God's house, everyone is welcome. You know, I was thinking about a story of one of the last churches I served at, and what we would do at the holidays would be something similar to what we do here, but we would have missionary families that we would send, you know, things to for Christmas, and the missionary family would send us, you know, the names who are in the family, the sizes, all that good stuff, and we used to send it in actually a barrel, because that's the way it needed to be shipped over to Indonesia. Well, anyhow, I'll never forget as the folks were packing that barrel, and they had the list of things that were going to go in and the sizes. And the one thing that I think they prided themselves upon was when we sent things to a missionary family, we didn't send something old. It was always brand new. It was always something that was new and not used or not tattered. And like I said, we were kind of prideful about that. You know, we're not going to send somebody hand-me-downs. Well, we're in the process of doing that, and they were kind of in the room where they were doing the missions activity area, and I was next door, and all of a sudden I could hear this conversation happen. The door opened, and one of the women of the church came in with a coat, threw it on the table, and said, "My husband has had this for 12 years. I can't stand looking it on him anymore. Put it in that barrel and send it to those missionaries. Maybe they can use this." And I can tell you, the people that were packing that barrel, their blood pressure probably went from 80 to about 200. Because this is a missionary family. And we're supporting them. And why should they deserve anything less than a brand new coat? And she kind of stormed out. And I don't know what was going on. You know, sometimes we just have issues. And so it was funny because they got done packing the barrel. And there was probably about this much more that needed to pad some of the stuff. And so one of the ladies got the jacket, put it in the barrel on the top, put the lid on, and then the barrel was shipped. Interesting thing. After the holiday season, we get this thank you note from the missionary family. And one of the thank you notes was this: thank you so much for, number one, for your church supporting us, and number two, for these Christmas gifts. And thank you especially for the miracle gift. And he went on to explain that when they got the barrel, it was a cold winter night. There was a storm going on, and a man showed up at their door, shivering, didn't have a coat on, asking for some food, maybe some shelter. And what had happened was they found this coat. And you know, that coat fit this man perfectly. It was something that he needed, he didn't have. And this man put that coat on, and the missionary family had said, "You don't know what a miracle it was to witness his face in the Spirit of God there. And you don't know what a miracle it was to have that jacket just be right there at the appropriate time for when that door knocked." I think it gave us all something to think about. You know, we were prideful that we give brand new things, but sometimes we have to realize that no gift given in the name of Jesus Christ No welcome given in the name of Jesus Christ is ever given in vain. Even sometimes when we have our hearts just are maybe half-hearted about things, maybe that woman bringing that jacket, wanting to get rid of it, but yet, even in that process, God worked and made that coat into a miracle gift. Now, do things like this really happen? Well, you betcha they do. You betcha they do. And that's why Jesus says, you know, whosoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, his reward will not ever be taken away. You know, and I think it brings up this whole thing about for us about being a welcoming church. No gift, no welcome ever given would be in vain. And you know, I think part of our humanness is sometimes we're afraid to fully give. And I'm not talking just money. I'm talking just of maybe of our time or our talent, but maybe our even our life, really giving our life to God. And I think part of that is because I think sometimes when we give, we kind of put that together with when we give something, we're losing something. But we never sometimes as human beings realize that sometimes when we give, we get back a hundredfold. Something for us to think about. You see, because God's economy is not our economy. God's way of giving and welcoming puts ours to some introspection. You know, a lot of people hold back because I'll hear this. They'll say, you know, you Christians are this way, but I got to tell you something. Nice guys finish. And it always seems like I give, and I get nothing in. Yeah. I mean, these are the common things, and yet God gives us this whole other bit of His economy today, and He says that you know, even if you give one of the little ones a cup of cold water, and I think about a cup of cold water, that's not much, and your rewards are still going to be given. So no gift given, no welcome is never given in vain. And so as we do this as a Christian community today, I want us to just kind of spend a few moments now examining ourselves and examining back to those three questions I talked to you about. What does it mean to welcome? How do we do that here? And how do we make God's house a home? Well, I think one of the first things I want to share with you is this, is that we need to start thinking of God's house as a home. And we do that really well here. We do. But we need to move the boundaries of that and extend that boundaries through welcome and make others know that here at 2943 Hamilton Cleese Road is a home of the people of God and God Himself. You know, it's interesting because we're a covenant people. And, you know, when I do weddings, one of the things that the marriage covenant, the bride and groom will say to each other, I do, or I will. And when we bring people into our church and we do baptism or confirmation or bring in new members, one of the things that I always ask the congregation is, will you support these people? Will you nurture these people? And our answer is, we will. And so first step today is recognizing that God has made this beautiful covenant with us, and we need to be living as a covenant people, connected to one another, affirming of one another. Now, the second thing I want to reflect on is this, the scripture tells us that as we welcome, we have to practice the gift of hospitality. And we do that really well here, don't we? And very soon, I'm sure your stomachs are rumbling like I am. We're going to really practice the gift of hospitality. But here's the thing. When we gather together, when we break bread, God has an opportunity to come in the midst of us in His welcoming presence. God has the power to shine forth. And so as we practice hospitality on each other, we know that God can work in and through that. The third thing I'd like you to reflect upon, too, is that becoming welcoming and in making this house a home, we have to realize that each one of us are needy, too. You know, there's times where we're going to need from the church. We're going to need God's grace. We're going to need forgiveness. We're going to need hospitality. We're going to need maybe sometimes welcome, because we get ourselves into situations and all of a sudden we find ourselves behind that wall. Remember that you are needy too, and let yourself be a cherished guest of God. And finally, we need to make a conscious effort to invite Jesus into our life and to put Him first. And I think what Jesus is trying to tell His disciples is, as you go out, as you go and welcome people in our midst, there is a cost to it. Yes, our lives are interrupted. Yes, sometimes our privacy is invaded. Yes, sometimes our nerves are frayed. Sometimes our patience is tried. But besides all of that, Jesus gives the disciples that promise of that welcome of God. And He says to them, when you do this, it will not be in vain. You know, my friends, here's the problem. Our world is in not need of more houses. Our world is in need of more homes. And so I go back to that very, very beginning sales pitch in Real Estate 101. Don't call it a house. Make it a home. And my question today is, as we do these things so well already, but we need to ask God, which ways can we expand that? In which ways, Lord, can we continue to grow in Your gift of welcome? And the final question is this, is will we be, as Paul said, as Deborah in the Romans reading today, will we really give ourselves to God as people who have been raised from the dead to life and make every part of our body serve God and belong to Him? Will we make God's house a home? Will you give yourself to God in Christ's name? And God longs to hear that answer. And as we go forth today, I ask you just to remember this. As you think about things that you may be doing, or people that confront you, or situations you might be in, remember that God says the gift of welcome in His name, no gift is given, no welcome is ever given in vain. Let's bow our heads. God, You are so good. You have brought us to this place, this hour. God, we can never forget the welcome that You've given us when You came into our lives as Lord and Savior. Father, the very minute where we were in the states of sin and You came in and cleansed our lives. And God, to this very day, Lord, we ask if there's any way that we can extend the gift of welcome, that we would do that in Your name. And Father, especially, we ask that You would continue to challenge us in Your moment and in Your time. God, we thank You for this home that we call Ross Community United Methodist Church. And Lord, we just know that it is one of many, many homes, many, many mansions of glory that You've prepared for us to caretake in this world until we're in that mansion of glory with You. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.